Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
Hey, it is Judd's Hockey Show. The wild season might be done, but of course, hockey alive and well. The playoffs starting. It's been a fantastic first couple few nights of playoffs. It's Judd. It's AJ Fredrickson. But more importantly, let's bring in the conversation a guy we haven't had for quite a while, actually. Too long. Wild General Manager Bill Guerin. Billy, how's it going, and have you caught the first couple of days of playoff games?
It's going better. No, I haven't. I saw a couple minutes of Bruins-Toronto last night, but other than that, no. Not yet. That's coming. I'll be back watching soon, but not yet.
So do you not watch because it doesn't sit well how your season came to an end, or are there just other circumstances why you don't watch right now?
A little bit of both. A little frustrated right now. I just don't like watching other teams right off the bat, but I'm getting close to it. And, I don't know. I watch hockey quite a bit, and I think now maybe for the first couple nights I could spend with my wife, Kara, and one night, my daughter, Grace, was over. And I'd rather not just say, hey, you guys want to watch hockey?
All right. After husband points are very important. Totally get that.
You know, I'm trying to be fair.
Totally get that. Speaking of the just completed season, I guess my question is this. How surprising was it to you? Now, there were a lot of circumstances. There were guys being hurt, and I know that that's not, especially in this sport, an excuse. But how surprising was just the season in its totality, which, you know, got off to a bad start? You then came back and played lights out for a while, had guys get hurt. So, like, when you look back at the season, is the word disappointing? Is the word surprising? What words would you choose that they can be aired, of course, on a family-friendly show to talk about this?
Yeah, those are two good words. Inconsistency. I'm surprised at the way we started. We had been, I thought we were going to be better prepared than that. Surprised, disappointed in the start. Surprised and disappointed at the inconsistencies. I'm realistic when it comes to the injuries, but we can't make excuses because, you know what, we were right there. We were right in the thick of it, and we can't use that as an excuse to missing the playoffs. We were there. When we were healthy, we didn't perform well enough to, you know, win specific games, or we gave up leads. We were inconsistent in our play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, our guys work hard. They compete. I know that the effort is good, but to mentally be there at a higher level in big games when you have a lead, things like that wasn't there.
I thought, Billy, that on cleanout day, Hartman had a really interesting quote, which was telling, and I'm guessing you have heard and seen it, and it's probably something, especially with the way that you played the game, that you hated to see. He said something along the lines of, the last few years, I wouldn't want to play against us. Like, we're tough to play against. We might not win all the time, but we're tough. And this year, he said, I don't know if I can say that. And I get where he is coming from. Now, I remember last season, you guys got off to sort of not a great start, and the team seemed meek. And then you went and got Reeves, and the locker room just turned around. Like, all of a sudden, this team was tough again to play against. How do you, especially with the way that you played the game, how do you rectify or think about the fact that one of your gritty players said that, and it was probably accurate? Because that's not really a talent thing. That is a sandpaper type of thing. And like, that's what you brought to teams, I thought, along with skill in your playing days.
I'm glad he said it. I think he's right. I do think that was a big change in our team. And guys like Hartsey are responsible for that. Like, right. He's one of the guys that's got to be better. You know, Marcus has to, you know, when he's healthy, he's got to be better. They, you know, but I'll say this, even a guy like Zuki's got to be better. Carrillo's got to be better. Boldy's got to find a different level of grit in his game. It's not just on the gritty guys. It's on everybody to compete like that each and every night. I agree with him. I'm so glad he said it because he's right. But now what do we do to rectify it? Yeah, I have to do my part. I have to go and find those types of players that will help in that category, that will support what those guys are doing. But we need everybody to do it, not just the gritty, the gritty guys. Everybody needs to do it.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Andrew. Coming off of, missing the playoffs, it's kind of a disappointment for kind of the trajectory this team has had for the past couple of seasons. But one of the silver linings, I think, was some of the emergence of younger talent. And the farm system for the past couple of years has been a bright spot for a lot of Wild fans here. Now you saw like a guy like Marco Rossi come up at the latter part of this season. Husnadinov, Ogren come over. They get in the lineup. Can you talk about maybe the future that you see and how you might want to build around those type of guys and some of the guys still yet to come over that are younger in this new era of Wild hockey that's going to be in the next year or two?
Yeah, and I'm really optimistic about those guys. I think they came in and did a great job. Like I said at my end of the year press conference, like I want them to push. I want them to push the older guys. I want them to come in and be able to make our team and create that healthy internal competition. Yeah, a lot's been said. Like I think we've drafted well. We've drafted often. We have players, in the pipeline that are, some are closer than others. Some are still a little ways away. But it was nice to finally see some of these names, finally stepping on the ice for us. It was, a little ironic playing LA, and you had Faber and Ogren both in the lineup. To me that a couple of years ago when we made that trade, it seemed like light years away. And here we are, a couple of years later playing both of those kids. So I think it's really encouraging. We were talking today at the office and, we had at the end of the year, we had Faber, we had Boldy, we had Rossi, we had Husnadinov, we had Ogren, we had Chisholm. All younger guys, that's six right there. I might even be missing one. Well, at one point in time, Wallstedt was up too. Mm-hmm. So there's seven players that were in our lineup that were, 22, 23 and younger. And to me, that's encouraging.
And that's the intriguing thing to me, Bill, is that there's no question that this season was a frustration. There's no question that, as you said, you'd like to see more from some of the vets, but the fan base was like, well, blow it up now. It's useless. And what I said is, here's the thing. The future looks really, really bright. Like you guys have been addressing the future. And I actually asked you at your end of the season press conference about that. There are young guys who are going to push the vets now. And to me it is, yes, it's frustrating right now, but this thing could be incredibly bright because you've got, For lack of a better term, team controlled contract guys who are young, yeah, who are good. So like, I do think that there's this weird, okay, the season was disappointing, so the team is a mess. I look at it and say, yeah, it was disappointing, but the future looks bright, which is why, last point, I think Kaprizov probably wants to stay. Like there's all the fear is now, oh my God, he's going to want out. He's going to want to go to the Rangers or Kings. If I'm Kirill and I'm starting to look at guys infiltrating your roster, Bill, I'm looking at this and saying, hold on a second. We could be really competitive in a short time.
Yeah, I mean, I hope he thinks like that. I think he does. I know he likes the younger guys coming in. I know he likes our team. We did not have a great year. I would not categorize as what we have is a mess. Obviously, I'm biased, but And again, I go back to like, you know, blow it up. Well, blow what up? Like, that's called a rebuild. We're not rebuilding. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, if you trade a Foligno or a Hartman or a Gaudreau or Zuccarello or just let them walk or whatever, you are in essence rebuilding. And that is not a short process. You know what? And then what's Kirill saying?
Oh, yeah, you got problems then with
Absolutely.
Him.
Then you got problems.
I agree with that.
So I would think real hard before you say just blow it up and get rid of this guy and get rid of that guy when they are effective players. I mean, Ryan Hartman had 20 goals again this year. Like, and he was dry for about 6 weeks. Like, he didn't, you know, he went through a spell. He should have had closer to 30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gaudreau had a bad year, but, you know, he didn't last year, so I'm hoping he can regain shape. You know, same with Johansson. We need better years from guys, but I would by no means say blow it up, because that's a whole other world that I don't want to get into. I know Craig doesn't want to get into. And I'm sure our fans don't want to get into it either, because that's a really long process. You can ask some other teams that have gone through, you know, the teams that have gone through full rebuilds that didn't draft McDavid, you know, and guys like that. It makes a big difference.
And without the, like the one thing I don't like, and it's just so common now, is the no trade, no move clauses. Cause I do think that there were pieces, and you did this with three guys. I have no objection to moving pieces who are going to go to a Stanley Cup contender and like fit on third lines and things like that. And you did that with Dewar, Maroon, and Duhaime. But the thing too is, like with Kirill, I agree with you. You need to show him that you're serious. What is your interpretation or thoughts about him? Because I remember when Gabrick bolted from here, and Gabrick, you could tell, Bill, was very clearly like, New York, here I come, right? Like, you could tell where he wanted to go, what he wanted to do. Unless I'm totally missing on Kirill, he doesn't strike me as necessarily a bright lights guy. Now, he might like Florida, I don't know. But what's your, I don't know if concern is the right word, but what's your feeling, your interpretation about where he is mentally right now in his career in Minnesota?
You know, I don't think he's a bright lights, big city guy. What I do know is that he's a winning guy. He's a winner. That's all he cares about. You know, I know he likes it here. He does like it here a lot. He likes living here. He likes his teammates. He likes the organization and the team. But he really does want to win. That's the big thing. That's why I love him. Like, it's not, I'm going to go looking for it in another place. He'd like to win here. I know that.
On Kirill, we kind of saw when he first came over, he was taken under a wing by guys like Matt Zuccarello. And when he was still here, Matt Dumba, to kind of get acclimated to, you know, hockey in the States, the daily culture, just going about getting groceries, stuff like that, just normal everyday life. You've kind of seen some behind the stuff being posted by the team's social media accounts about him with a guy like Husnadinov. Have you seen him maybe reenact that role, but now as the mentor instead of the kind of the young green guy coming in with a guy like Marat?
I haven't seen it physically. Like, I know what's going on. You know, I know Kirill spent a lot of time with Marat. And, you know, I know they had talked a bunch before because they would play video games together and stuff. So they've known each other and they talked a lot, quite a bit. So getting him over, you know, and I know they've talked about, like, the summertime, you know, what would be advantageous for Marat to, you know, maybe spend some time here and live in Minnesota for a little while to get acclimated to it. And, you know, I think that's smart. I think, yeah, Kirill takes some, you know, he has pride in trying to help Marat out and kind of lead him.
Back to Brock. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, John.
I was going to say, back to Brock for a second, and you can't say this, but I will.
Brock who?
You won that trade. Like, I thought there was no chance you could win that trade. Like, the guy forced your hand, you traded him, and you still got two pieces back. But Faber is, I don't know how you would describe it, but what he did to me was nothing short of miraculous for his age and experience and his ice time, Spurgeon being just gone. How much do you have you either, you probably can't push for this, the Calder Trophy. What's your personal opinion there? Because, you know, McDavid's going to be an incredibly, or McDavid, Bedard is going to be an incredibly special player. There's no question about it. But what Faber did for you guys, to me, was one of the more impressive things I've seen from a rookie with a Minnesota NHL team going back to the North Stars.
Yeah. I mean, he had a spectacular year. We're lucky to get him, and he's what I love about it is, you know, he came in and Spurge couldn't play, and the door opened just a little bit and he kicked it in. There's a little bit of, you know, light coming through the door, and he kicked it in and took advantage of it. You want to talk about saying, here I am. This is like, that's what guys got to do. Like,
yeah,
that's how you do it. And he took advantage of a crappy situation with Spurge being out, but look what we have now. And I think it's great. And I think you should win the Calder.
Looking forward a couple months here, Bill, if you don't mind me, I know after the season, there might be a little bit of a buffer time, but how quickly do you and a guy like Judd Brackett maybe get into some type of warm about, let's look at a big board for the draft? Right now, we don't have the draft lottery results yet, but you know, kind of a decent idea of where you're going to be. Is there a position that maybe you may want to target in this year's draft to kind of add to this younger generation that we have moving forward? I know I don't want to force your hand on anything because it's pretty.
Yeah, no,
it's like poker. You want to keep himself close to the chest.
Ahead, force his hand.
But you know,
he's got it all figured out. Judd's on top of it. It's you know,
brilliant man.
Not you, Judd.
No, I was going to say brilliant man. This Judd.
No,
brilliant.
The other Judd.
Him too.
You know, and the guys that do that job are pretty incredible in how they can pinpoint where you're going to be or who you're going to get where you are. You know, right now, I bet you if I asked Judd, like, he could probably give me three names right now of who he thinks we're going to get. That's how in tune they are with this. But we have them all coming in. We have our pro scouts and our amateur scouts coming in at the end of May. For our last tune-up before the draft, Judd and I are always talking about, you know, possibilities and, you know, but we'll see where the lottery, you know, spits us out.
Okay.
What is your ideal scenario as far as with the cap space that you are going to have? And I think it's going to be more, at least since it looks like the cap is finally going up. Free agency. Like, are you looking at, have you started to look at the possibilities there? Is that more of a July 2025 when you're flush with cash thing? What's your feeling on free agency?
No, we're looking now. You know, could we do a free agent signing now for a year or two? I mean, depending who it is, like, it could be longer. We could make other adjustments. Do we add to our team, you know, by trade, you know, stuff like that. Like there's a lot of different possibilities and options. We're working on it already. You know, it's, we've been thinking about it for a long time, but now like that the season's over, we are actually working on it and putting things together and trying to, you know, see what the possibilities might be.
What's your expectation, just rough, on cap space now?
It'll be okay. It'll be fine. I think we'll be able to add somebody yeah, that can help us.
You think in a goal scorer? Think in a defenseman? Big defenseman, maybe?
I think our D is pretty set. Like, if we're healthy, like, you know, we have Faber and Brodin, Middleton and Spurgeon, you know, Chisholm, Bogosian, yeah. Merrill.
Bogosian's big, yep.
You know, so I think, you know what? That was baseball bat, by the way.
I hope you're not so upset with me. You're going to come to St. Louis Park.
Something like
Jerry McGuire.
This is one of my father-in-law's old baseball bats, and I just always have it for some reason. But I think our D is good. I think when we're healthy, we're set. And I mean, forward we can stand to get a little bigger.
Goaltending. And I know you've been asked this, but there's three there. Fleury's back, which by the way, I personally think is fantastic, because if as long as that dude wants to hang around the franchise, I would be all for that. Yeah. Cause he's just such a class guy and he's so beloved and he's such an important player. But with three goaltenders, is it realistic to come in with three to training camp, or I should say three that expect to play somewhat, you know, Flower obviously would be more of a backup ideally, but like, what's your feeling about that? Because Wallstedt feels like he's very close to being able to at least get the opportunity to play a lot in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, it's possible. There are teams who have done it. I think, you know, Detroit rolled three pretty regularly. I think Carolina did as well. There are a few more, but yeah, it's possible that we could do it, you know, and you know, get Wally, you know, some more starts. You know, he had three this year, and you know, if we could, yeah, bump those numbers up for him. Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. Plus, you know, you want to protect yourself injury wise, and that's important. So we could absolutely carry those three.
Age, you got one more?
Yeah, I had one. I was talking to my dad last night. He was like, "You got to ask him this. You have to ask him this." He wanted me. I was like, "Dad, we'll see if I can slip it in."
Well, you're just like,
yeah,
you're gonna get it in, so Dad wins.
Yeah, but Bill, he wanted to know, since your playing days, is there a guy in the league that you've seen that you're like, that is a guy that I wish I could have played with? He seems like an outstanding teammate. He seems like a guy that I would have just loved to kind of be around on a day-to-day basis that you didn't have the chance to in your playing days.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Let me think. You know what? I like the guys that, I don't know, like I like the guys that play the way I did. You know, obviously playing with, you know, I was fortunate enough to play with Sidney Crosby, so I'll leave him out of it. But, I mean, to play with Connor McDavid, I mean, my God, that'd be unbelievable. But, like, to see what makes guys tick like that, I'm trying to go through the league real quick in my mind. God, you know what? I'd love to play with the Tkachuk boys.
I can see that. Absolutely.
I would love to play with the Tkachuk.
Well, you probably locked horns a lot with the old man, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're pretty tight and we played on all the US teams together and, we played against each other all the time, but we had some great times together. But those guys, yeah, those kids. Yeah. I'd like to. I hung out. I mean, I've known them since the day they were born. But I'd love to play with those two guys.
All right, they're incredible. So how much fun is it going to be helping? Speaking of that, playing a key role in building the rosters for the Four Nations next season and then the Olympics.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I'm really excited about it. I mean, it's a big honor. I've played for Team USA a number of times. I've been involved in some of the national team stuff, but this is whole other level when you get to be the general manager of, you know, Team USA for the Four Nations and even more so the Olympics. So I am just I'm thrilled about it. It's going to be great. I mean, we've got a lot of good players to choose from.
Oh my God. That's going to be very, it's going to be difficult too, though. I mean, cutting that roster down.
It's going to be tough, but it'll be good.
Yeah. Last thing. Have you guys talked about, or what's the, if there is one, what's the thought on adding a potential play-in? So like the NBA takes what, six, takes four teams, plays them down. So like you would have been in the play-in, 7, 8, yeah. 9, 10. And so like you would have been in a play-in to get into the playoffs. Do you like that thought? Because I got to think at some point in time here, the amount of playoff teams, which has gone from 16 of 21 to 16 of 32, is going to be raised by the league just from a revenue standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, that's been talked about a number of times. It hasn't gotten any traction, really. I guess there's a couple things. I guess one of the biggest ones for me, too, is like you get to play a play-in round. Is it best of five? Is it best of three? Is it a one game? How long does it push the other teams off for? So the teams that are in the playoffs are sitting there waiting for you, which isn't always a good thing.
Right.
So you're coming out of this best of three play-in round. You know, you just played three games. You're in playoff mode. You're ready to go. And this, you know, the team that made the, you know, was better, they're just sitting there and they're not ready and you ambush them. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if that's the best thing, but I hear what you're saying. It's kind of funny. When I first came in the league as a rookie, there were 21 teams.
Right.
And 16 made it.
Right.
Can you imagine that? Only five teams didn't make the playoffs.
I watched it for a long time, my man.
Yeah. And then now we have 32 and only half the teams make it. So I'm sure down the road there will be an adjustment to it. I'm not that creative. I don't know what the answer is, but I'm sure, you know, the people at the league live and breathe this stuff and they know it. And if it's not being done, it's for a good reason.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just saying it from a point of view of if you play a game or you play, you know, two or three, it just gets more TV, like that's how you up your next TV deal and all that good stuff. And that's what the leagues are always trying.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, you know what? And this is what I've learned over the last few years is like nothing like this is just easy like that. Okay. Let's just do a plan.
Right.
Like there is so much more involved in it and these are important decisions. Like every little rule change, every little, you know, adjustment to the game that's done is a big deal. It's very important. And then the business side has to mesh with it.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
All right, Billy, thank you very much. Great stuff. Let's talk sooner than we did this time. Cause it was my fault. Yeah. I waited too long. So I appreciate your time. As men, always, great stuff.
Judd number two, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, brilliant men named Judd. Just remember you said Judd's brilliant. I'm like, I don't know which one you're talking about.
I'll call him Judd. I'll call you Jug.
Yeah, that's fine. I've been called Jughead before. See you later, Bill Guerin.
See you guys.
All right, bye-bye. That was, of course, Wild GM Bill Guerin. Age, your takeaway, the one thing that the thing I like about him the most is he's as upfront as you can possibly be. You don't get a lot of... You get no excuses, and he doesn't attempt to sugarcoat. But I do think his team is in an interesting predicament because, again, this was a disappointing year, which he said, and he's right. But this team, as you broached, also has a lot of bright young talent, which I do got to think in the course of things, you are going to see some of these kids push the veterans either to play far superior to how they played or just purely out of the roster.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The biggest thing that stuck out for me from just all of the answers that he gave was like the how he will go about maybe looking in free agency. Because you brought up you think defense might be the thing. He goes, I think we're set there. If we're healthy, yep. I think we're set. But he wants to get a little bigger at forward, and that's interesting to me because also as to what you brought up as well, next year after that, they kind of just have, they're flush with cash in a sense before possible extension. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of how Guerin can walk the tightrope of not being, you know, being maybe more frugal at times and not being the high school kid just got their first paycheck after working their job. And they're like, I'm the richest man in the world and blah, blah, blah. And we're just spending just because we have it. We'll have to see. And that's going to be interesting because it seems like maybe he's hinting at, hey, we have guys we already know we want to target here this offseason. Maybe that is the way to go in the draft because there is a couple of decent power forwards kind of following around their slot, which I know we'll talk about at some point here later this week at some point. But the future seems bright, and I think he knows that. But I do appreciate him being up front saying it was a disappointing season. And based on Hartman's comment saying we need to get tougher, we need to be, you know, a little more gritty of a team, not to, you know, have PTSD for the grit first motto that was a couple playoffs ago for the Wild. But he's very, it seems, self-aware of the weakness of this team at the moment.
Well, I think as we discussed, the Hartman comment on cleanout day really probably, he liked that he said it, but it irked him because when you're saying, hey, we used to be tough to play against, but this year we weren't. And that's why a guy like Ryan Hartman is on the roster. I think that's what, so I took his free agency comment to mean they're probably going to look to add a guy who certainly could score some goals, but a bigger guy who brings some of that. Some of what I think they thought Pat Maroon was going to bring, but I think you need a player that can play possibly top six. Yeah. And Maroon is great in Boston right now on a, you know, cause he's got the cup pedigree, but he's a fourth line guy. Mm-hmm. And so I took that to mean, hey, we're going to probably pursue a guy that can step in and play top six and can add that because, you know, the sense of urgency on this team, sort of the lack of it sort of led to the inconsistency, and that had to drive Guerin and John Hines, but it had to drive him nuts because like, that's the one thing that this team had and it's inexcusable that it was gone. So I am curious to see who comes back, who does not come back.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to see probably a July edition of a veteran player who isn't afraid to, let's say, make some noise in the locker room and can hopefully score some goals as well. That would be, and it's probably my total guess, probably a second line guy.
And I'm just looking, I just pulled up the Sportsnet kind of top free agents for this summer here. And one guy to me that immediately slots in, I think maybe the money might be the biggest issue here. Toronto UFA left wing, Tyler Bertuzzi.
He's an interesting player.
That's an interesting guy. But he does bring that physicality and kind of that SOB mentality that I think the Wild are lacking. He's had some ups and downs when it comes to the goal department. But the one thing I'd think that has never been really in a slump for him is he's going to throw the body. He's going to get under the skin. He's going to be that pest. And he's like a God, you just hate to play against him. But as soon as he's wearing your team's colors, God, you'll love him. It's so nice to have him. So and that's just me looking right off the top of the pond here. So we'll have to dive into that at some point.
That's pretty good. And I believe Toronto is in a sort of a cap conundrum itself because they're paying a lot of guys. So I don't think that they can bring all of their guys back. I mean, the guy I would have loved them to be able to either keep or pursue, and it was probably just a cap problem, obviously, was Ryan O'Reilly. Like Ryan O'Reilly to me would be an ideal Bill Guerin type of player. Oh, yeah. He's older, which actually brings his salary down a little bit, but mm-hmm. I mean, he comes and brings it every night. He can still make plays. He's a pain in the ass, but Bertuzzi is too. Now Bertuzzi can do things like take some stupid penalties. He took one last night. It was just really, really dumb and he can have some dumb games, but that's a good one. That's a good one. Last thing, what was your thought on the goaltenders? Cause I just struggle to believe they're going to bring three back. Fleury's back. Volstead, or as we now call him, Wally, is for sure back. The Gustafson thing and Gustafson's demeanor after his exit meetings last week seemed to be pretty down. I believe the Wild's going to have a third goaltender who can play in this league. I also think it might be a guy like Stalock who bounced back and forth. I just don't know that you can have three guys that you're going to play a lot. Yes, there are examples, but it would just get tough unless Fleury's really not going to play much, which I don't think he came back not to play.
That, yeah, of props to Garen, because I think he is a straight shooter and probably says the truth for the most part. That is the maybe the one answer where I'll believe him for right now, but it's not a wholehearted. I'm going to, you know, lay it every word that you say. It feels like, given what we know about him, maybe not fully committing to being that number one starting goaltender, kind of the off ice habits of not having the fitness, the fatigue mentally, we've kind of seen what he can be, where, which is a roller coaster up and down. I think when it comes to goalie, that needs to be your, you put him in, you're fine with it. It's a set and forget type of thing. You don't want to have to coddle and baby, and it should be something that can fix itself if there is a bad night. Not a, we need to work heavily behind the scenes to get this guy straightened back out. So maybe right now, maybe the intention is, hey, let's have a three-headed horse or a three-headed dragon and make it try to work. I would be less than shocked if come season opener next year, Gustafson is not on a lineup card for the Wild.
They also might be taking some time, because I think that there has been concerns in the past about Wahlstedt's conditioning as well. This seems to be a common goaltender thread, you know, Dubnyk, Gustafson, Wahlstedt. So they might be just, there might be a curiosity on the Wild's part to see what Wahlstedt does. Does he stick around?
Yeah.
Does he go home and eat mom's cooking? So like, that's the one thing is, I think there's a legitimate worry about those two, the conditioning, and they might be just sort of trying to see where things stand by late June. If Wahlstedt stays here and works his ass off, that might be the push that they need to trade Gus, because Gus is one of the few guys who's got no trade protection at all. So anyway, hey, great stuff. Before we go, a quick shout out to our new partner here at Judd's Hockey Show, Nicolay Law. Nicolay Not Law knows that when you or a loved one, there you see Russ right there, gets injured, ordinary life, they can come to a stop and things can get complicated. During that time, insurance companies, they're likely to pressure you. They're no fun. They don't care if you get better. They don't care if your medical bills are piling up, and they don't care that you may not be able to work. But you know who does? Nicolay Law. They have seen every play the insurance companies have, and they'll drop their gloves to make sure you get the compensation you deserve after an accident. So if you've been injured, get Minnesota's local award-winning injury lawyers. Get Nicolay. Start your path to winning at Nicolay.com or give them a call at 1-855-NICOLAY. That's 1-855-NICOLET. Thanks to Bill Guerin for his time and joining us. Some great stuff. I'm Judd. He's AJ. We'll talk to you soon.